better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win. You know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. And the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That was Aaron Rodgers on this being his last season, why he is retiring with the Steelers. That was when he spoke to the media, when he was officially signed, sealed, delivered, all ready to go at his press conference. And he thinks that the Steelers, he said that the Steelers will have his all this year and what is likely to be, most likely, about 95% chance, his final season.
I'm going to give the Steelers everything that I got and empty the tank and be super comfortable and satisfied with whatever happens. Obviously, we dream about playing at the highest level in the biggest games.
That was Rodgers during mandatory minicamp. Today, he is not yet, will report to Steelers training camp as the number one player that I am keeping an eye on this year. And it comes after Aaron Rodgers, just a season ago, played his first full year after just four snaps with the Jets, hurting his Achilles, first year away from Green Bay, played all 17 games last year. And Rodgers has been a dependable player dating back to 2014. Outside of that season against the Jets where he hurt his Achilles, he's played every single game outside of one in every season other than 2017 when he was hurt and was only able to play seven games. So Aaron Rodgers has been pretty healthy in his career. He's the number one player all-time in interception percentage. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. He's the number one quarterback in NFL history in quarterback rating. He is also the number one quarterback in NFL history in sacks. And that is something that just cannot happen this year. They have to make sure to protect Aaron Rodgers and keep him upright. 5-12 last year with the Jets. Rodgers, though, could still sling it, man. 63% completion rate. He's 65% for his career, so down just a tad bit. And I mean, again, he's not the 28-year-old winning MVPs anymore that he once was. 28 touchdowns, 11 picks. His last season in Green Bay, 26 touchdowns, 12 picks. What's a realistic goal for Rodgers this year? 27 touchdowns and 7 picks? 8 picks? If that's the case, I think the Steelers do have an opportunity to pull off a couple of upsets in games that people don't see them winning. Now, remember this. They're only favored in 6 games this year, which is kind of odd if you think about it. Like, they're not favored in the Vikings game in Ireland. Neutral site, that means that Vegas thinks that the Vikings are better than the Steelers. They're favored in both games against the Cleveland Browns. They're favored against the Jets. But there are other games, like, not favored against Baltimore. They're not favored against some of the best teams. They're favored against the Colts, but they're not favored against some of those top teams that they will play at the end of the season, obviously, that you would expect, like Lions, Buffalo, stuff like that. So I think Aaron Rodgers, as the number one player I'm keeping an eye on, and we've consumed so much Aaron Rodgers, whether it be what he said on McAfee, the documentary on Netflix, Rodgers during his introductory press conference with the media. But the real question remains, does he still have it? And a big reason why is because of player number two on the Steeler that I'm most keeping my eye on, and that's Broderick Jones. Can he make the transition of offensive tackles for the Steelers over the last 15 years that haven't been dominant? Like, there's been no Joe Thomas on this team. There's been, you know, there's no Michael Orr on this offensive line playing any position.
Orlando Pace.
There's no Orlando Pace. There's no Tony Munoz.
Trent Williams.
But can Broderick Jones be a solid tackle that's better than Dan Moore? Like Dan Moore, we gave Dan Moore a lot of crap. Dan Moore was fine. Wasn't good enough to want to keep around. He wasn't good enough to want to sign to the contract that he did, over $70 million from the Titans over 4 years? What did he get, 80, 72, 82 million, whatever. Dan Moore was overpaid. Broderick Jones needs to be able to make this transition and be productive to protect Aaron Rodgers so that Sayamalu isn't helping him out on that side and leaving gaps open for Zach Frazier to have to take care of and leaving gaps up the middle where he's going to have his handful with some of the best defensive tackles, Matt Ibike, Chris Jones, those types in the NFL. If Broderick Jones can protect Aaron Rodgers, they're going to have a chance to win a lot of games. Those two work hand in hand. Number three of the seven Steelers I'm most keeping an eye on, it's Arnie Smith. He is the only non-player on my list. But Arthur Smith, how he is able to put these pieces together, 10 new starters altogether on the Steelers, a lot of that coming on offense with DK Metcalf, Robert Woods, Caleb Johnson, Aaron Rodgers, Jonnu Smith. How does Arthur Smith put this puzzle together? How does he formulate this in training camp with limited snaps in preseason to be able to facilitate the offense? Patrick Queen is four. And Sean, we talked about Patrick Queen a little bit already, but I feel like even though his tackle numbers were tops on the team, he is not somebody who I think has risen to expectations.
Maybe you make the argument, okay, first year with a new team, still getting adjusted. Now, honestly, I don't think that's a great excuse for a proven commodity like him, but you have to see something better in this second year. There's no doubt about that. We've mentioned a lot of resources into this defense. Overall, it needs to be better. Certainly against the run, it needs to be better. He's going to be a big part of that. If he doesn't improve, then you have to wonder, can the defense truly take a big leap forward? I think he's going to be instrumental if they are able to make that next step.
And as the main communicator with Minka being part of that last year, wasn't the green dot guy, but I wonder how communication, and you know, a lot of people might say that that's overblown, but still, how does Ramsey communicate with Queen, communicates with the defensive line, all those regards. And number five is actually somebody that I'm pretty high on. Now, it might not sound like it so far based on where I have him or the lack thereof of playing on offense. It's Roman Wilson. Like, I've heard good things about Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson in college was a successful 10-touchdown dependable weapon of J.J. McCarthy. Like, he was their passing game. If you're high on J.J. McCarthy, which I'm not, you should be high on Roman Wilson. But at the flip side, and that might be counterintuitive to the argument I'm trying to make, if you're not high on J.J. McCarthy, you should be even higher on Roman Wilson because that guy was getting open and being very productive with a quarterback that, frankly, I don't think is all that good.
And a team that really didn't need to throw the football very much.
No, with an offensive line that had multiple guys drafted, Harbaugh with a good scheme, two running backs in Corum and Donovan Edwards that were good, and a defensive lineman that had so many players drafted, whether it be Mikey Sanders still, multiple guys on the defensive line. Think about who's the guy that just got picked by Cleveland, fifth overall from Michigan?
Graham?
Yeah, Mason Graham.
Yeah.
He was a part of that defense.
That said, I mean, we've seen guys have very successful college careers and can't make the transition. I would still be worried about him because they just never seemed interested in giving him a chance. I mean, they made a trade to bring in a receiver because they didn't want to give Roman Wilson that opportunity. They kept making the moving bus or moving train.
Yeah, he can't hop on the moving train. He played all of five snaps last year.
I mean, that's if you're a talented player, I understand he was injured at times, but if you're a talented player, they're going to find ways to get you on the field, even if maybe you aren't fully up to speed. So I would have some pessimism about Roman Wilson, but if we don't see it soon, you have to wonder if it's ever going to happen. I think this is a make or break camp, and I think early on in the season, we'll know if he's going to be part of the equation or not.
A lot of people are mentioning as well, like poor scheme causing players to underperform. I think that's fair. Like, I do wonder what Terrell Austin's true scheme and philosophy would look like if there wasn't a lot of Tomlin influence. Would it be better? Would it be worse? I don't know. I'm at least kind of curious on what it would be. Another texter points out, and a lot of people have kind of mentioned this, Like, how many times have the Ravens won the division 3 years in a row? And should we really give the Ravens the benefit of the